Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 1st of October, recording at 9:08 p.m., and it's still British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly a little bit firmer. No drama that I witnessed. The European stock markets, however, were quite firm overall, and we had some good gains. French CAC up 2.39%, the DAX up 1.5%, the Italian market, that's the MIB, up 2.83%, and gains over well over 1% were commonplace, including the UK stock market up 1.37%. In the Americas, we also had some reasonably good gains, although Wall Street's were pegged back. Well, they were all pegged back a bit towards the close, but especially Wall Street, and a weaker performance by Apple during the day, or a reversal of some earlier gains by Apple during the day, pulled down the NASDAQ. For example, the NASDAQ futures contract had been as high as 28.23, and it's currently at 27.89, down 3 on the day. The S&P also, the S&P future, this is, had been as high as 14.51, but is closing out at 14, well, it's still trading after hours, 14.37. And that's down that's up 3.4 points on the day. So the end result for the U.S. cash industries, the S&P was up 2 points, just a small fraction, 0.15%. The NASDAQ with a very small loss, and the Dow up just over half a point. Now, long-dated government bond prices in the U.S. reversed some early losses. The European markets, with those strong stock market gains, closed a little bit lower. The U.S. dollar was a bit easier here today, but closing out well off its lows. Nevertheless, the euro is still up to 128.91, but it had been up to 129.31. And the UK, the pound has drifted down to 161.35, but the dollar was a little bit weaker against the Asian currencies. And precious metals, well, bit of seesaw here today, and we get that most days. First, precious metals were a little bit lower in early trading, but then, as so often happens, we get these explosive moves about between really 1 and 2 p.m. for the most part, Greenwich Mean Time, and when the bullion fixing has occurred, the London bullion fixing, and then the high frequency trading activity kicks into action, and today was no exception. For instance, gold, which is currently trading at 1776, nearly 1777, that's up just under $5 here today, but it had been up as high as 1791.45. Now, that was a new high for this recovery move. And silver, equally dramatic, well, even more dramatic, because silver had a high on the day of 35.44 and a low over a dollar lower, $1.20 lower, 34.21, and it's currently at 34.76 and a half. That's up just under 19 cents. And platinum, again, also a bit volatile, less so though than silver, and it's currently at 16.84 and change. That's up nearly $15. Palladium up a couple of bucks right now. Now, crude oil is barely changed here today, just a fraction higher for the WTI, and I believe a fraction weaker for the Brent. And I'll just check that that Brent price, because these things can be volatile. Yes, it's down 26 cents in after hours trading at 112 and 13 cents, so $112 and 13 cents. Now, the industrial metals were all higher in here today, including copper up 190 at 37 and 70 cents. And in the grains and beans, now we had those explosive rallies on Friday, but there was some give up here today, particularly for soybeans, which closed down over 40 at 15.60, and wheat also, which had that big upward dynamic, gave up almost half of it on Friday, gave up almost half of it today, currently at 8.84. Corn was virtually unchanged. Those are the main factors, main highlights rather, in here today. Although I should mention natural gas is a little bit steadier as well. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in stock markets, first we have the China sector closed all week long, but it had closed out last week with those two big upward dynamics off the lows, and about time, as some of us have been saying. But elsewhere, the ASEAN sector is particularly steady overall, albeit within ranges. China's weakness was a drag on the ASEAN sector, but they're right up there within striking distance of their highs. And as a matter of fact, Thailand is currently in the pole position and has been hitting new highs in the last few days. But nothing too dramatic there. And what we see in Europe is currently a consolidation of some very strong gains that we had seen in August and the early part of September, the first half of September. And it's encouraging to see that these indices are doing reasonably well in here and holding these gains. Now, one of the news items here today was that Spain, they found out that Spain banks only needed 60% of the bailout that people had feared they needed. So in other words, whereas people were throwing around the figure of a 100 billion bailout for the Spanish banks, then they decided, well, actually, maybe they only need 60 billion. Sounds like almost small change, doesn't it? Now, Wall Street had some bullish news that helped to push the market up earlier today. The manufacturing data increased more than manufacturing orders increased more than generally expected, and that pushed the market up. But as I say, those gains did fade. We had the Dow up over 150 at one stage, but it closed out here up 78 on the day. So what we've got really is we've had a bit of drifting here for the most part in the US indices. Now, that's hardly surprising after 4 months to the upside. And it would not be surprising to see a somewhat longer reaction, maybe a little bit of a bigger pullback, probably a little bit of a bigger pullback than we saw once the early June rally actually started. So, as I say, that would hardly be surprising after 4 months of pretty good gains overall by Wall Street. Now, with all the high-frequency trading, Will we get something bigger in terms of a pullback? Well, that could easily occur after 4 months to the upside. It could easily occur over the next few weeks. Although my hunch is that if that has not happened, or even if it does happen, as we get beyond October, that we're probably likely to see further gains with all the QE, all that easy money being the main driver behind further gains for Wall Street. So, as I mentioned on Friday, and probably also the day before, my worst case scenario at this stage for Wall Street, based on what I can actually see technically, is the worst case is that we get a correction. Now, that would be something in the order of 8 to 10% for the S&P to the downside. But the odds are we get a narrower trading range and then move higher. But, I'll take my further cues, or the important cues, from what I actually see on those price charts, and those need to be watched. So far, all we've seen is, as I say, is a bit of drift on Wall Street, albeit led by the Nasdaq this time around. And Apple, I mean, we've got to watch Apple. I've said that on a number of occasions in the past, because when it got up to 700, that was a bit of a psychological goal and therefore temporary barrier here. But also, it was well overextended relative to its rising 200-day moving average. And when that happens, it doesn't last very long before we get reactions and pullbacks. And while people have learned to become almost complacent about Apple's pullbacks and consolidations, I'd be a little careful this time, because they really have made a mess of this Maps business on the new iPhone 5. It beggars belief, actually, that they would put in such a lousy map system. I don't know the specific details, but obviously they felt that, given all the competition, increasing competition with Google, which has its smartphone, that they had to ditch the Google Maps. But you can't ditch those excellent maps and then replace them with an algorithm. It takes a long time to produce really world-class maps, and nobody's ever produced better ones than Google. So, again, as I say, it kind of beggars belief that they would make that kind of blunder. And I know Tim Cook was quick to apologize for it, and rightly so. But that is going to My feeling is that, in kind of a delayed reaction, that's going to shake confidence somewhat regarding Apple. Still a wonder share. Hopefully they sort that out in the not too distant future. But it's Apple's not immortal. Okay, looking elsewhere. Long-dated government prices still very steady with the help of all this QE. My hunch, though, is that we're seeing a slow, therefore lengthy topping out process in the bond prices, therefore a slow and lengthy bottoming out process in the bond yields. And I don't think that there are enough fearful developments in the known pipeline to push yields to new lows, but we will see. Now, precious metals, well, let me take the dollar first. The dollar is mostly mixed, but when we're in, to use banal expressions. When we're in risk on, the dollar tends to be easier. When we're in risk off, the dollar tends to be a little steadier. But we know that the Fed is keen to keep the dollar a soft currency overall. But so is the ECB, who would like to see a soft euro, indeed needs a soft euro. And the Japanese, well, the Bank of Japan has frustrated the administration's, Japan's government in terms of weakening the yen. But there will be more measures in time, I don't doubt, to soften that yen somewhat further. So, in other words, we're getting some competitive devaluation here, and I maintain that the dollar, against that background, is unlikely to be a strong currency beyond these short-term so-called safe haven rallies. But a safe haven it isn't. For currency safe havens, I think that takes us back to precious metals. If you can stand the volatility, which is exacerbated by the high-frequency trading, my own view is that gold, silver, platinum, and palladium are consolidating gains in a somewhat wider ranging band, having rallied up to those psychological resistance levels just under the $1,800 level for gold and either side of the $35 level for silver. Platinum and particularly palladium have been a little bit more volatile, although platinum rather, has been pretty firm given the extent of the gains that it has seen over the last couple of months, or really since the third week in August. And palladium has been the most volatile by far, and I think all those people who were shorting palladium, I beg your pardon, let me start that again. I think all those people who were, those hedge funds that were shorting platinum back in July and August and lost a lot of money doing so, I think it was kind of a dumb move, but they felt that that was a way to play a weak automobile sector, and particularly in Europe. I think they've switched those shorts to palladium, and I think that's an equally dumb move. And my feeling is that palladium, when it's underperforming, is almost certainly a buy. And because of the volatility, maybe one needs to trade it out on the on the rallies. But I think I would say we're going to have commonality here for all of these precious metals, and the big move is to the definitely to the upside. So we're in a different phase after those 4 very strong weeks to the upside. Last 3 weeks we're in a rangy here, sort of choppy type of move. But as you'll see on the charts, both gold and silver hit new recoveries, new recovery highs here today. They didn't close out at those levels, but they're ranging with an upward bias overall. And I think that's likely to continue. So I do feel for all these precious metals, the best tactic now is to nibble incrementally on setbacks and to lighten on rallies if you're in futures. And those people who are in the bullion funds to nibble incrementally on easing, same tactic. If you are building a position or increasing your position, and you can probably hold on until or unless they accelerate well above their 200-day moving averages, and then they're not doing that at the moment. Industrial metals, they look to be consolidating those strong gains in line with precious metals, although not quite so strong, but consolidating those in a relatively narrow range. And if they continue to hold over 50% of the sharp rallies that we've seen, which marked the lows, important lows in all probability, in my view. If they can hold over 50% of those gains during a consolidation, it shouldn't be all that many weeks before we see further strength. So an upward bias to commodities helped very much by all that quantitative easing, and I think also some anticipation that GDP growth might be a little better in Asia as we move into the new year. That's a big if, by no means impossible. As a matter of fact, I'd say that it's more than likely if we get China following through with more stimulus measures overall, as India is now doing, or well, it's a combination in India of stimulus moves and more importantly, pushing forward some pro-growth legislation. And if we get China improving, or get measures that improve sentiment in China to the same extent that we've seen in India recently, then I think we will see further strength among these industrial metal prices as well as the precious metal prices. And interesting day overall on the 1st of October. All the best.